Welcome to today's episode of The A Word, presented by me, Jamie Barrientos, a marketing manager here at Ludio, and it's also powered by Lorenzo. Today, I'm pleased to introduce Jesse Allen, founder of Communicate Growth. Today, we're going to be talking about AI, you know, scaling AI in an agency, best practices, insights, and all that fun stuff. Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jamie. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We'd love to learn more a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got started with Communicate Growth, you know, the things that took you from building it from the ground up and, you know, some of the things you learned along the way.
Sure. Thank you. So Communicate Growth is a culmination of a very long history in comms and brand marketing. I basically started out, just to show you how old I am, started out faxing press releases in my college marketing department, and have covered basically everything in comms and marketing in just about every country worldwide and sector since then. What's really interesting, my exposure and to where I am with Communicate Growth now, is I've worked both sides of the agency aisle in client servicing and comms strategy. And that's given me obviously a very strong foundation in how to grow brands, but also how to grow agencies in a very strong commercial orientation. And I'm bringing that expertise together through Communicate Growth, which is basically providing outsourced C-suite growth services and advisory services to communications agencies to help them grow through three core levers, which I see are the fundamentals of scaling agencies. And it's the measurement of comms, so actually putting ROI and impact metrics to top of the funnel communications, optimizing existing clients, and then scaling for new growth. And all of those three core areas need to be connecting to grow agencies. And it's all filtered in through an AI lens. So using AI to power those three functions.
And how has AI been a jumping point for Communicate Growth? Were you leveraging AI at all when you were, you know, founding it, getting things built and creating the foundation, or was it something that you brought on to Communication Growth after you got it started?
Yeah, it's more of being able to deliver the best work for clients around those three core areas is by using AI rather than using AI to develop the company. So the company was actually formulated through lots of different conversations with comms agencies, and I'm also in a lot of CMO groups as well, and there just seemed this real need. So that was a real human touch. But I'm looking at the three core areas of measuring impact. I've developed my own proprietary impact measurement survey using the skills I know in brand marketing and commercial objectives, but putting that through the lens of AI using a really interesting tool called Brand Ops, which looks at the full funnel marketing mix to see what levers need to be pulled and how to optimize content, and then developing a plan off of the back of that, which is really interesting. And then in terms of optimizing existing clients, right? This is the core. Everybody gets really excited by the shiny new object of like, let's go after this new client or this new sector. But when you're scaling an agency, one of the core 101s is you got to keep your existing clients happy. You can't lose them. So measurement helps drive that. But when you look at client relationship management in an agency context, it's around, well, automating, using AI to automate the process of client satisfaction. So it's about, I've developed a scorecard, an AI powered scorecard, churn scorecard that looks at, you know, standard formulas within the agency context of what would be a trigger. So looking at client servicing, if a client is being underserviced, that would be a red flag versus their budget. If we haven't spoken to a client recently, and that just all automates triggers to the client account handler to say, we need to put focus on this client, or we need to look at how we deliver for this client, or look at different opportunities to make sure that that client doesn't go away. And then the other elements around actually scaling for new business, this is new business in either new sectors or going out to market for new clients, around that lead generation. So typically it's two aspects. It's content creation. So obviously AI, you know, at this nascent stage of AI, content creation and streamlining that, it has huge effective efficiencies, but also in terms of automating lead gen, I use a plugin called Akiko and Madkudo to just really optimize and create the manual tasks out of HubSpot to identify buying signals if somebody clicks on a pricing website, the pricing aspect of a client's website, or have downloaded a white paper. It sends triggers to helps to the client relationship manager to get in touch and just say, "Hey, I know you did. I saw that you did that. Let's have a conversation and help them scale in that way."
Yeah, that sounds great. It sounds like a lot of useful AI tools out there. You're using it to streamline your content creation with agencies and helping companies scale, that sort of thing. What are some of the things that you look at when considering an AI tool that you feel would be impactful to clients that you serve, but also within Communicate Growth? What makes you say, hey, this AI tool can make our automations and our life much easier? And what are some of the things that people should look at when they're trying to find an AI tool that could potentially help them.
I think that it's got to be a plug-in with current work processes. So we're looking at AI. A lot of people are quite scared of AI. That's quite hard to imagine, especially coming from where you're coming from and people listening to this podcast. But my experience with comms in particular is that they're kind of a little bit scared about AI and they don't know where to start. So it's got to integrate quite effectively with current work processes and make the benefit really easy to see and really easy to use and apply and make life work a little bit easier for them. I really like brand ops on the measurement piece because it's basically what we need as comms. It looks at that full funnel analysis, and can relate it back to impact on the client, the actual revenue impact of the client and tweaks that we need to make. So even if that's a little bit more difficult to integrate into current work processes, it's definitely the value is there and what, from a comms perspective, the industry really needs. And there are other providers out there, but I quite like them.
Yeah, of course. It seems like, you go on LinkedIn nowadays and you see a new tool for something that you didn't even think you needed help with that AI could help with. And I think, like you mentioned, people get scared, scared of change, scared of, I think one of the common things we see commonly on LinkedIn or just any other major platform is this going to replace jobs? Will this replace jobs? What are your thoughts on that?
It's scary. And I do think there will be, I was listening to some AI experts talk. It is a bit like an asteroid killing the dinosaurs or an asteroid killing agencies. And I think it's Peter Roser who really effectively broke it down into three different groups, right? You're going to have your AI natives, agencies who really are using every AI tool out there to grow, and we don't even know what that AI agency looks like at the moment. It could be strategic or it could be, a campaign management agency. They're going to succeed. There's going to be AI emergent, so agencies like me who understand my sector really, really well and are bringing in AI tools to make it more effective for clients. And then there will be the obsolete category, right? There will be agencies and brands that don't get on the AI bandwagon, AI, train where we're going, and they will become obsolete. And I think that there's a lot of challenges around it, depending on the size of your agency. So in one respect, the smaller sized agency is very well positioned to get on board with AI because they're more nimble, they can pivot quite easily, but they lack the resources, right, to be able to say, I, as an owner founder, I lack resources and time and money sometimes to be able to say, I need to spend 20% of my working week to dedicate to innovation. Whereas you have a big networked agency or a larger agency, and they do have the time and the resources to be able to allocate that, but you're turning a tanker, right? You're turning an agency that can't just pivot so quickly. So I think it will be interesting to see, in terms of the agency landscape, what falls out. But I definitely think that there's going to be a lot of movement in the agency world.
That's interesting that you say that because at Ludio we service a lot of clients and one of the things that we always hear is does the AI really work? Is it really going to make an impact? So I guess my point here is, do you feel like it's too late for agencies to jump on the AI bandwagon, so to speak, or do you still feel like there's time for agencies that are out there that are still considering making the jump to leveraging AI in some capacity? Do you think there's still time?
Absolutely. I mean, From a longer macro point of view, I said before, AI is nascent. Like, we are at the very beginning of what AI can do. And I was in one of an AI advisory groups, and they said, Sheerlux launched an AI virtual academy, a virtual AI assistant. Oh, AI employees is so June 2024, right? It's moving so quickly. There's always time to get on board. And the way, again, Peter Roser indicated that there's going to be like five phases of AI implementation. We're at the very beginning in terms of this content efficiency. The next one is going to be around AI agents. So it's not around just creating a campaign. It's going to be around actually actioning. So using the intelligence and the analysis that was found to create a brief, to make suggestions on marketing channels, campaign channels, using lead gen information, and then actioning it, once you have overview and insight, that approval. And then the last phase, I can't remember the intermediate phase, but the last phase is this quite wild sci-fi prediction. But considering that we are where we are now, and we didn't expect to be here 2 years ago, in about 3 years, it will be this hive of AIs talking to each other and creating AIs. So, there's always opportunity for anything. Until you're dead, there's always opportunity, right? You can always jump on. What I'm really interested in is what happens after we get off screens with AI, right? So everything that we talk about is screen-based, so it's digital marketing-based. And sometimes you do have AI activations in real life, like content creation that's then pulled out into physical aspects. But what I'm really interested in, the next phase of AI, is how does it come into our real life? Right. So, how do I, for example, take that AI agent and have a virtual assistant and use it to book my car service, or make it so that somebody can come and pick up my Amazon returns? Like, what happens after screen? That's what I think is the really interesting future of where AI is going.
Right, and that's interesting to think about, right? Like we think about, most of us have iPhones or Androids, and we think about Siri when Siri first came out. Oh, I can talk to this virtual assistant to, set my reminders or to do a task list for me or do a grocery list. But now it's gonna going beyond, like you said, the screen. Like, okay, well now I've automated my life in some capacity to where, like you mentioned, have my Amazon returns get picked up by something that's already automated. It's in the process. And there's a lot to think about there, but I think you're right. That's going to be one way that it could potentially affect our lives. I did want to ask though, when your agency was first approaching AI, I know you mentioned the tools that you're kind of using. What was the conversation like with your team? Was there a lot of hesitancy, or did you feel like, confidence with your know-how and your knowledge about it? They felt more confident and inclined to accept it. What was that like?
Absolutely. I mean, we're forward looking, right? So we know that it's either evolve or become obsolete. So, and we want to do the best for our clients. So there was no question of should we be going down this way? Oh my God, I don't want to learn AI. It's a question of what can we do? What do we need to learn? How do we operationalize this? How do we test and play? How do we pilot? And then how do we operationalize for our clients? So it's there was definitely no hesitancy or pushback. I think with some of our clients, there tends to be, but again, I think it's more of the fear factor and ostrich effect, right? Burying head in sand, because we've worked out how to do well for our brands as is, and now we have to learn something new. So people don't like change, so it's just bringing them along that journey and showing results. But from our internal perspective, no hesitancy or challenge or anything.
Right, well, that's good to hear. I think as most teams embrace it, I think it's more if you have a leader that accepts AI for what it is and understands that, hey, this could make our operations and our day-to-day easier. Why wouldn't we want to, try it, right? I think most companies probably don't have a champion of AI to help the cause, and it's a lot of individuals out there who probably are super hesitant to try it, or probably also think it's a waste of money for paid tools, right? They see the free stuff and they see the paid stuff out there, like, doesn't really work. So are there any particular tasks or processes that you've implemented with AI where you've seen the most improvement?
So content in comms, obviously content creation is a huge part of that work. And as a daily basis, it's really great because like you have all of these ideas and the strategy of where you want to go, and it's almost you could just put it all into a prompt in AI, and it's right, I want to create this type of content, structure my thoughts, and then I want you to shoot it out into 30 second segments and give me a series for that. So I think it's just really amazing for being able to go and have, ChatGPT or one of the other ones to just put all of that in there and have it structure your thoughts and ideate for you as well. I mean, as a content creator as well, there's nothing worse than staring at a blank sheet of paper, like nothing. So it's just being able to say, I want to write something on this. This is the trends that I'm seeing. This is the message that I want to have out. And then boom, you have your outline, you have your ideation. But the key point is you have to have that human touch in there. You have to have that oversight. Everybody knows this, and who's talking about AI? It's one, it's everything is generic if you just put anything out on AI. You need your tone of voice, your brand personality, your thinking in there to create the magic of the content that you're creating and make it stand out. Right. So you can create huge amounts of content that we couldn't do before, but you still need to add your human element, your personality to it to create standout.
Right. And yeah, that's right. The human touch, you touched upon it perfectly. A lot of the times when we're using these AI tools, you can see on LinkedIn what's been, flared up with AI and also what's been done by a human. It's, you can see that now. There's even tools out there for educators to help combat plagiarism. That's one thing that educators are facing is, well, how do we know if this essay or something turned in by a student is, done by AI, written by AI, and how can we figure out? And I think as the AI models progress, I feel like it's becoming harder and harder, right? A lot of the writing is that's getting
Good.
outputted is really good. It's really good. Do you feel like the video aspect of content creation, do you feel like that's the next leap for AI with businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. So, my family members work in video, like post-production, so they're already using Midjourney a lot for client briefs and to create, and I use it as well. To bring the strategy work that I do off page to a visual story tells it so much better than words sometimes, and they're using it in their client briefs and pitches, but it still has a way to go. It's just it looks clunky. So the words, the prose is there. Some of that work is really beautiful, but I think the video has a catch up that it needs to play, but it will get there. No doubt that it will get there. One of the most amazing things that I heard actually at the event that I spoke at with you guys was that there is an AI company that you put nodes to your head and it creates videos of your dreams. I mean, that is the most amazing, surreal thing that I've ever heard of in my life. And I'm so here for it because I have the most out of this wall, wacky action adventure dreams ever. And I'm like, yeah, like, this is a movie. Can somebody go and create it? So that would be the next thing, is like to put a node on my brain, and then all of a sudden you see my crazy alien inspired action adventure dreams on the movie.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I was having a conversation with my fiance last night. We're watching movies. And as always, the big conundrum is, all right, what are we watching next? What are we watching next? And I made a joke to her, and I was like, eventually in the future, maybe 5, 10 years from now, we're gonna be able to tell an AI prompt, what movie we want to watch, and it's gonna create a movie in real time with AI actors, and we're gonna watch a movie based off a prompt. And I feel like we're kind of heading in that direction a little bit,
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Why not? We can't put a time frame to this anymore, but like, why not in 5 years or 3 years? But sure.
Yeah, exactly. And that's funny because it's just a conundrum, right? I think as these tools keep coming out, which they will. Okay, what are your thoughts on this? Do you feel that paid AI tools versus free AI tools, there's always that there's that, big headbutt that I see out in the field. Some people want to pay for it, some people just leverage the free stuff. Do you feel that the paid tools are worth it, or do you feel that in the future, as AI becomes more common across not just in the industry that we're in, but for people out in the real world, the day-to-day people, that just everyday folks, do you feel like it'll eventually go to more of a free-to-play model, or more still stay on a pay-to-play model?
I'm going to answer that question in a different way without actually answering it, if that's okay. But my view on the pay to play is like, right, I think if you just use a light touch every day, of course you're not going to go the premium paid model. But if you're using it and integrating it in your tools and you're operationalized, of course there's a place for it. But my thinking on the way the AI landscape is going to go, right? There's been a gold rush to AI. It's been the wild, wild west of the next big tech thing. And there have been so many brands that have launched with so many different apps. I don't know who they are, right? Like they have no brand personality. I don't know what they do. Like we're in the space and I literally have to go and say, what does this brand, like, give me a list, give me a tech set of different AIs that will do this and give me their pros and their cons. So, you know, because there's been so much investment and gold rush here, and they all look the same, right? They all look futuristic and the same type of imagery, and they all have AI in their name. Like, it's like you can't understand it whatsoever. So the players that are going to win are the ones that are going to be able to really clearly articulate their proposition and brand personality to make them stand out. So, you know, I'm a brands marketer by trade and background. This is what I do. And that's what needs to happen. And then they can be able to start to say, all right, this is what I can do for your life. And this is the value it has. And this is the price tag to be able to make that happen to you. But that's not happened yet. But that is what needs to happen for the AI brands.
Right, and I feel like, you know, to your point, is there's a lot of lack of educational resources out there about this. A lot of he said this, she said that, you know, what's the definitive answer here, right? There isn't any because everyone's approaching AI differently in the organization, right? I did want to say for our listeners out there, Jesse, if you could put a 5-step plan into place to getting AI in your agency, what 5 steps would you take to get it done, just from the
Okay.
start?
Yeah. So one, it's got to be internal buy-in at a top level, right? So to say this needs to, we need to know about AI. We need to understand it. We need to incorporate it. So that buy-in from a top level. Step two is playing, right? Don't be afraid to play with what's out there, and allocate a proportion, a percentage of time each week to play and understand. And then when you step three is to start to look at, you know, test pilots. So this product does this. This is what I like about it. We've got this client problem or we've got this business problem. How can we create a use case study for this internally? Step four is to then operationalize it, right? So this is what we've identified as a problem. We've operationalized how we address that problem that is recurring with our brand or with our agency, and this is how we use it. And then step five, I guess it goes back to that leadership buy-in, always adapting and making sure, you know, that there is, what is it, an AI council or a horizon scanner or a future scanner, to be making sure that it always goes back to that point two around playing, you know, making sure that the time is allocated to play.
Right. That's great, you know, for our folks out there that are viewing and watching, listening, you know, that write this down, but don't worry, it's going to be up on our website on Eludio. That's a great 5-step framework, Jesse. Like I said, I think lack of resources out there is a big one, and I feel like that's maybe an opportunity for companies that want to, you know, obviously try AI, but want to draw visitors to their website, right? It's coming up with these educational resources about AI using, you know, internal learnings. So looking ahead, you know, how do you kind of see the role of AI evolving in the agency space? Do you feel we're going to start seeing a lot more adopters, or do you feel there's going to be a lot of hesitancy still for the next couple of years?
A bit of both. So I'm having a lot of conversations with marketers and agencies, and it's a bad market, right? So I'm sitting in the UK. We've had our own economic issues. You're in the US. But both sides of the pond, you know, it's a hard time to be a marketer right now. And a lot of it, you know, we are seeing some churn this year because of AI replaced jobs. And the conversations I'm having are basically cut into two, right? It's, oh my God, I need to go find a new job that doesn't is human is manual led, right? Human manual led. What I mean by that is that it's not technology knowledge or cognitive driven, right? So that's the point about getting off of screen. Until AI or robots start to impact our day, you know, there's still opportunity around teaching, counseling, construction worker, anything that is manual or vocational, right? That's a huge amount of like, so people are talking about retraining. Or the other bucket is, I'm going all in our AI. You know, I like what I do. This is my expertise. We need to evolve and change, right? So it's really cut in half, is my experience at the moment.
That's great. Yeah, I totally understand. I think with us as well, obviously we our clients, we leverage a lot of AI with our platform here at Eludio. A lot of our clients like our the fact that we can just create ad units, you know, on a whim and let our Lorenzo platform kind of take care of it. So now we talked a little bit about the future. You know, before we close out the conversation, I want to have just a couple more questions. What can people do in the meantime to kind of start learning more about AI? Do you have resources on your website? Is there anywhere that people can, you know, learn more about you or reach out to you about it?
Sure, thank you. So my website is communicate-growth. I don't have any specific AI resources on there right now, but I regularly post on LinkedIn, so you can find me on there as well.
Love it. So Jesse, one last closing thing for our listeners out there, anyone you viewing this, you know, one closing thought, if you had one closing thought about AI, it doesn't have to be agency specific or just your thoughts, you know, what would you leave our listeners with if we're, you know, closing out with AI? What are your last arguments here, your last thoughts and statements?
Don't be scared. I think just embrace. Change is scary, but rush to it, and it's not as scary as you think it is.
All right, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much, Jesse, for joining us today. Really great insights. Really appreciate your conversation, and also your five-step framework into, you know, kind of getting a head start in AI. It's been fantastic. Make sure you follow Jesse Allen. We'll be posting her links and all that fun stuff on our LinkedIn, our website at Ludio. Jesse, thanks again for joining us on the
Thank you.
podcast today. We really
Thank you
appreciate
so
you.
much for having me. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, everyone.